What servants of God in the Bible got sick? What servants of God, true servants of God, and God let them get sick and sometimes didn't heal them? But that's not the title of the sermon. The title of the sermon is The Purpose of Sickness. The Purpose of Sickness. Now look, God designed everything, didn't he? Through Jesus Christ, God created everything and designed everything. You know, they're studying vultures because vultures can eat diseased, maggot-filled carcasses. The reason they don't have feathers on their head. We have two vultures in Tennessee. We have the turkey vulture and the black vulture. It's talking about really the color of their head. The turkey vulture has kind of a red head like a turkey, and the black vulture has a black head, but there are no feathers. And that's because they're sticking their heads in dead and rotting things, and it helps keep the head a little cleaner to not have feathers there. They're studying them because they're saying, look, if vultures can take all of this into their system, what can we learn from vultures to try to help people? What can we extract of that knowledge to where we can help people who are sick? Because the vultures seem to be able to have any kind of disease come, it doesn't seem to bother them. Now, with humans, though, God could have made us where we didn't get sick. So he designed the human body to get sick. And what are we learning? Why did God design us to get sick? What is the purpose? I bet we could get a lot of ideas if we sat around in a circle. A lot of you could make suggestions. But the first thing I want to ask, can you think of any servants in the Bible who got sick? Yes, ma'am. David. David got sick. That's true. Yes, sir. Elisha. Yes, got sick of the sickness whereof he died. And that's really an interesting story of Elisha. And you can find it in 2 Kings chapter 13. I'm not going to turn there. But he became sick with the sickness of which he would die. This is a guy who did so many miracles. God did the miracles through him. Just many, many, many miracles. And I want to read just a little part of it. He got sick of the sickness whereof he died. Anybody remember? What was the really wild thing that happened to his bones? What was it? Yeah, for those who are listening in here and you can't hear what's going on to this gentleman out here, we need a wandering microphone, don't we? It's in 2 Kings chapter 13, verse 14. In verse 20 and 21, they buried him, and raiding bands from Moab invaded the land in the spring of the year. So it was as they were burying a man that suddenly they spied a band of raiders. And they put the man in the tomb of Elisha. And when the man was let down and touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood on his feet. But you know, Elisha's bones had been touching Elisha's bones, and Elisha wasn't resurrected. So God let him get sick, but he had, and die, but God had so much respect for this servant who had served him so faithfully that when a body touched those bones, God resurrected that man. That's how much respect God had just for the bones of Elisha. But God let Elisha stay dead. And so God allows people to get sick and die. You know, I don't think I've been here since Jack Elliott died. And I just want to say, what a fine man that was. You know, I went to Ambassador College in 1959, and he was so kind to me, and not everybody was. Don't know why. I'm such a serious guy. And he was just always nice to me. And he is one of the few who recommended that I go out in the field. There were three guys who recommended in the manpower meetings that I go out in the field. And Jack Elliott was one of them. What a nice, nice gentleman. Always pleasant. Well, I wasn't one of his kids, see? That makes the difference, see? I never saw him angry because he wasn't my father. So I'm sure his kids saw him angry more than once. That's part of being a parent, isn't it? All right, who else did we... Now, there we saw a lesson that God allowed him to get sick and die. Any other servants of God that you can think of? Lazarus got sick and died, and there was a lesson in that. Jesus Christ performed three miracles. Two on the Sabbath, where he healed on the Sabbath. And it's mentioned in John. It mentions these three miracles. And it leads the Pharisees and the priest to get angrier and angrier and angrier. And finally, Lazarus gets sick and he dies. And Jesus hears about it. He doesn't hurry. He's waiting for him to die. He dies. He goes and resurrects him. And that very act was the final straw where they said, this man has got to die, lest the Romans come and take away our position. And so God did that just to finally upset them. So there was a real purpose in God's plan for letting Lazarus get sick, die, and resurrected. Any other servants of God? Epaphroditus. Yes. The word comes from the Greek epi, which means like, and Aphrodite, the goddess of beauty and love. And so if the parents thought you were a beautiful child, they could name you like Aphrodite. And Aphroditus would be the masculine form. And he got sick and he died. I think I have that one in here. Interesting, this is in Philippians chapter 2, verses 25 through 30. That's Philippians chapter 2, verses 25 through 30. It says in verse 25, I considered it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus. You probably haven't gotten to it in your Bible yet. My brother, fellow worker, and your fellow soldier, but your messenger, the one who ministered to my needs. And Philippians 2, verse 26, since he was longing for you all and was distressed because you had heard that he was sick. For indeed, he was sick almost unto death. And then it says he had mercy on him. And it says in verse 29 and 30, receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness and hold such men in esteem, because for the work of Christ, he came close to death. Think of that. It was the work of Christ. We don't know what it was that he got sick. Maybe the journey was hard and such. Not regarding his life to supply what was lacking in your service toward me. So here is a man who is a servant of God, dedicated. And his dedication in serving led him to get sick and nearly die. And God allowed it. Wow. God allows sickness. You know, when you're young, I mentioned to a few here, to Dr. Ward and the Stewarts, that I like hanging around them. They know what I'm going to say. Mrs. Stewart almost smacked me. I said, I like hanging around you because it makes me feel young. See? She was... I said that to Dr. Ward, too. Actually, I could say it to several here. So, but you know, when you're young, you just feel like you are immortal, that nothing's going to happen. You can take chances. You know, your life is stretching out forever in front of you. And then as you begin getting older, and if you're like me, you begin losing your hair, and there's a spot that floats in front of my right eye, and I won't go through all of the difficulties down to my left foot, which the gout is even bothering today. And you just don't feel quite so immortal. The aches and pains of getting old and getting sick, kind of, well, we've learned in the church not to put our hope in edifices. It's nice that you have this building, but you know, how long is this building? We've had nice buildings in the church and lost them. And, you know, when you're strong, I've watched, and he probably can still do this, but I have watched, this was years ago, when out in Ambassador College in Pasadena, and this field, and I was watching Don Ward pass a football. And it would look like he had hardly, just relaxed. He's out there with these young kids, and he's just relaxed, tossing. He says it's in the wrist. And it was like a bullet, long distance, perfect spiral, very easy. Can you still do that? Yes, he says he can. But he does it. I mean, he was a superb athlete, but I don't think he runs that much anymore. So there are parts of his body that are giving him trouble. Just by the way he walks, you can get that clue. But how did he feel when he was young and such a superb athlete in many endeavors? Baseball, football. Basketball? Yes. Track? I ran track. I went state track meet and track. I don't, running, I can still jog, but we learn something, don't we, as we get old and get sick. We learn you don't put your faith in your own body. We just don't look to those things. Have to look past it. Somebody else who was sick in the Bible. Yes, young man. Job got sick. It actually was from God allowing Satan to make him sick. That's an interesting story. It gives you an insight into God working on his throne, where he... You know, he brought up Job. God did, not Satan. God was using Satan. He used Satan with David to count Israel. I don't know how that came up, but there is another example in the Bible of God's throne and working with spirits. And that is when he wanted Ahab to die at Ramoth Gilead. And he gathered all the host of heaven. Let's see. 1 Kings 22. I'm not going to turn there. And 2 Chronicles 18. And the prophet Micaiah came there and said, I saw all the host of heaven in front of him, on his left and on his right. And he said, who will persuade Ahab to go up to Ramoth Gilead and die? And God could have just killed him. But he allowed, and then finally it was a demon, and God allowed it, who said, I'll be a lying spirit. So God uses spirit beings, and one of those things he allows them to do is make somebody sick. Can you think of somebody else that God allowed Satan to make sick? Servant of God. Saul. How? Yes, also the Saul whose name was changed to Paul. A messenger of Satan. Now, I'd like to read that. I think that's a fascinating story and of the Apostle Paul. And he himself. And there are others that we have not named yet. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 to 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 to 9. And here we see a purpose for sickness right here. Very clearly. And it doesn't tell how this came about. In other words, it doesn't give us the insight into the throne of God. We do see that with Ahab. We see it with Job. Fascinating insight into God and his throne and his court and all of the angels and using them. But here in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, and lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. Now look, it's hard for us to think that the Apostle Paul could have gotten the big head. Isn't it? But that's what the inspired Word of God says. It says, lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations. It wasn't Satan who decided this. It says, was given to me a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. So I could imagine God's throne room. God is concerned about Paul not getting, exalted above measure. And he brings him up. That's what happened with Ahab and Job. God was the one who set the agenda and brought it up. Now, it's possible that Satan brought it up. But God doesn't do what Satan wants. He does what he wants. This would not have happened if God had not been concerned about him being exalted above measure. I'll tell you this, when you get sick, it is a humbling thing, isn't it? When you're really down, it's easy to get down in the mouth and discouraged and depressed, and this thing, whatever it is, keeps bothering you. And, the pain can be there, and after a while you can just feel like I'm tired of this flesh. I am tired of this flesh. And he sought God three times that it might depart from him. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. God's the one. It wasn't Satan who decided that it wasn't going to go. My grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. That's a lesson for all of us. Sometimes when we're sick or somebody we love is sick, or we're praying for these people who, when I first came in the church, we saw healing, 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 healing. I've given sermons on why, in my opinion, we aren't having as many. I've given two. The last one, I gave it a provocative title. How many members will go to the place of safety? So, thought about speaking on that today. But we've seen lots of healings. But right in years past, when I first came in the church, basically everybody was being healed. And it was just a rare individual that wasn't. Since I've been in Nashville, it's been a while that I've been there, and I have seen two incredible healings. That's just, I've been there over 20 years, over 25 years. Two incredible healings where these people were in hospice care, and one of them, they said she wouldn't live till morning. And she got up and walked out of the hospital. Yet God let her get sick, and another year or two, she died. And then a man, that's Sue Garner. And then another man, Mr. Corbin, was dying and in hospice care. Prayed for him. It was gone. He was out of hospice care. All the pain was gone. Yet God let him get sick and die about 2 years later. And these were older people. And you pray and you pray. We pray for Angie Erickson right now up in Canada and such. But, you know, it's very humbling. You pray, you can feel discouraged. You can feel discouraged. And yet, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So, if we are sick, that's almost silly to use the word if, because God made our bodies to get sick. Now, He made them to get sick because we have broken laws. I mean, as a church, stuff sugar down us, probably as bad. Now they're saying, is sugar the new tobacco? Have any of you heard that? They had that on the news. Yes. Just the bombings? That's it? They heard it? Oh, over here, you've heard that? It causes heart disease. It feeds cancer. It leads to dementia. How many of you already knew that? Already knew. See, a few of you. They had a special on 60 Minutes, Dr. Sanjay Gupta, on sugar. And you can still get it. It was on, as I say, he normally is on CNN, but they had him specially on 60 Minutes. And they brought out, it is as addictive as cocaine. It lights up the exact same pleasure center in the brain as cocaine. And for many, it's as hard to break it as tobacco or cocaine. I've never tried cocaine. I did try a cigarette when I was a teenager, a few cigarettes a few times, but tasted awful and it cost money. And I just couldn't imagine. Why would I pay 25 cents for a pack of cigarettes? See, I don't know what it is now, but it's not 25 cents, is it? But back then you could get a Coke. See, I poisoned myself with Cokes and Snickers, and you could get them for a nickel. So, and you could get a hamburger for a dime. Although by the time I was a senior, they were 25 cents. But I used to go to the snack bar on base. My dad was a colonel in the Army, so we could get them for 10 cents. We've done it to ourselves. Mankind has. We're at the end of 6,000 years of human degeneration, and God has let us get sick and let us learn lessons. God told Israel He'd take away all their sickness if they would obey Him. He'd bless their food and their water, and He'd take away all sickness. But He knew they wouldn't obey, and they didn't. And Israel is not being blessed, and we're poisoning the ground. And you get the bread, and it's white, but it was poisoned anyway. It's got all kinds of herbicides and pesticides and chemicals in it. And then they take anything that was left that is any good, the bran and the germ, get rid of that and just leave the starch inside. And it hits our bloodstream almost as fast as white sugar. High glycemic. So God allows that and lets us learn lessons. Just as Paul. So, but even if you do your best, I mean, Lucretia has been grinding the flour for over 50 years and making all of our own bread, grinds it fresh, puts only honey and olive oil or sunflower oil, no sugar. We do have sugar in the garage because I feed the hummingbirds. And for a while we used to keep it for people who came that had to have sugar in their coffee. But after a while we just said, you know, they need sugar in their coffee. Tough. Just tough. We're not going to have it. Poison yourself in your own house or somewhere else, but not in ours. And so we have eaten like that. And avoided sugar and avoided white flour. And we still get sick. I mean, we're doing fairly well. She's 72. I'm 74. And we've got health problems. But, you know, the health problems are good for us. That we're not going to exist forever in this body. And your health problems actually work a good purpose. I'm not asking for them. I don't want you to be sick. I pray for people to be healed. I prayed for my mother-in-law to be happy in her last days and to go to sleep in peace. I didn't want her to suffer. And God answered our prayer. What a blessing. God answered our prayer. What a blessing. You know, there's another interesting story, and I don't think any of you would remember this particular one. Maybe you would. The son of Jeroboam. Anybody remember that example? Son of Jeroboam. This was where Jeroboam had one son. Now, Jeroboam was the bad guy who turned the northern 10 tribes to paganism. And he was evil. And God was determined to punish his family. And one son got sick. And that was Abijah. And Jeroboam said to his wife, and this is in 1 Kings 14. Don't know that you need to turn there, but anyway. Jeroboam said to his wife, well, disguise yourself and go to the prophet who said I would become the king of the 10 tribes. And you could get without having something in front of you, you might forget. His name was Ahijah, but the son who was sick was Abijah. So anyway, she disguised herself. But God said, before she got to Ahijah, because he was blind. Here's a prophet of God. God's still using him. And he was blind. What other servant of God was blind? His father, Jacob's father, Isaac. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Remember, he got to where he couldn't tell. Jacob was the one, was that that lied to his father at his mother's instigation. Anyway, he went there and said, "What's going to happen to my son?" And I want to read 1 Kings 14, verse 12 and 13 to you. You don't have to turn there. You can if you want it. You can check up and see if I'm lying and dying. It says, "Arise, therefore." This is what the prophet said to the mother. "Go to your own house. When your feet enter the city, the child shall die." Now, why did God let that child get sick and die? I want to read the next verse. "And all Israel shall mourn for him and bury him, for he is the only one of Jeroboam who shall come to the grave, because in him there is found something good toward the Lord God of Israel in the house of Jeroboam." The one child that God looked down and said, "There's something good in this one child, so I'm going to let him die, get sick and die." Sometimes, don't want to make anybody, it seems like, and I have had people say this, when their mate died, say, "You know, my husband or my wife was spiritually stronger than I am and was more faithful." And I don't say that that's always the case, but maybe that's how the person who's left feels. But I'll tell you what, God lets wonderful people get sick and die. Wonderful people get sick and die. And here's a case where God let this child get sick and die first, before any of the others, because he saw something good toward the Lord God of Israel in the house of Jeroboam. That's the only one. Everybody else, they were not going to be buried with honor. They were not going to be buried. I want to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, starting in verse 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I don't know that we need to get more examples of people who got sick. Sometimes God resurrected them, sometimes he didn't. 2 Corinthians, and all the ones he resurrected just got sick and died later. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I'm going to start in verse 6 and read down to a little bit in chapter 5. It says, "For it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Now that's our hope, not in our bodies, not in being healed. That's nice when somebody's healed. I pray for that. I want that. I don't want anybody in pain. Well, when I hear somebody's in pain, that's when I want to pray for them every day. I'm such a coward when it comes to pain. You know, when I had hepatitis C, if God had sent an angel and said, because I was in such misery, I just wanted to die. And if God sent an angel said, "Fred, God's going to heal you tomorrow. Or, if you want, he'll let you die today." I'd say, "Die today. I don't want to go through another 24 hours of hepatitis C." I've had malaria, and hepatitis C was worse. And malaria is bad. Not a nice way to die. I had the medicine, and the malaria was gone. After about 8 hours of malaria, I got better, but the hepatitis C went on for days. Anyway, the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. What a gift. But, verse 7, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. So we have this wonderful treasure of knowing Jesus Christ and God the Father, the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We have that wonderful gift. But we have it in earthen vessels. What's important is not our flesh, but God's Spirit within us. Verse 8, he's really talking about himself and those with him. Paul, he says, we are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Mark Mickelson's leaving for Cameroon and Congo, and he was as frustrated as I have ever heard the man. Be interesting to listen to his sermon today, because he's leaving, I don't know, maybe tomorrow or the next day, but he could not get his visa through to Congo. And he feels like he's going to be over there not getting everything done. He is just, I've never heard him that frustrated. Well, maybe he's been that frustrated with the council on occasion. But anyway, Don Ward could tell you that he does get perplexed every now and then. But he was perplexed. And we encouraged him, you know, God will do what he wants done. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Now, you know, he's not saying not destroyed physically, because he knew that we can be destroyed physically, but we cannot be destroyed spiritually unless we allow it. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. That is, even through sickness. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake. We're all going to die. That the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. He died. We will die. He was willing to die. And he died a lot worse death than we will, I hope. I hope I don't die like that. I pray for those who are old to die in peace, to just go to sleep. Doesn't always work out that way, but that's my prayer. So then death is working in us, but life in you. He's talking about his own problems. Verse 13, but since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke, we also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus. That the flesh is going to just, God is not going to spare us from every sickness, every disease, or death. And we may be like Elisha, and we get sick, and we just dwindle down, and we die. It may not be pretty. He who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. We have grace. And grace is not always physical healing. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, yes, when you're sick, do you feel like this is light affliction? But compared to the glory that's to be revealed in us, as he wrote in Romans 8, that this is nothing. Doesn't seem that way when you have hepatitis C and your liver's all swollen and you're heaving and heaving and heaving. Our light affliction. I remember I was in Benin City, Nigeria, and had malaria. And just about the whole church came to our hotel room. And you know, in Africa, they don't say, well, may we come in. It's just sort of knock and come in. And actually, they don't even knock if the door's unlocked. You know, they just open up, come in. So I'm lying there in bed in my underwear. And the church is all in there. And after a while, I've got to get up and try to decide which end to aim at the toilet first. And they're paying no attention to me getting up and walking in my underwear. That's no big deal in Africa. And at that moment, I wouldn't have cared, you know, if the whole world was there. You know, CNN was there filming. I just got to get up and go to the bathroom. And our light affliction. I remember my legs hurt so badly, and they had a tub with hot water in this hotel. And usually when I'm aching, I can get in a tub with hot water, and it just eases me. And let me just tell you, it didn't help at all. My legs just ached and ached. And I remember lying in that tub and looking up at the ceiling and praying. And I said, oh God, I'm going to get over this pain. And when I do, I will thank you. Because this will not last. And it won't. It's our light affliction, which is but for a moment. See, I can laugh about it now. It is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, and you can include the mirror, I was sitting behind Mary Beth and I thinking, now it looks like she's got a little bit of gray hair there. I'm thinking, how old could she be and have so little gray hair? And it, you know, I won't ask her if she comb something through there. That wouldn't be polite. I'll let my wife ask her. No. But at the things which are not seen. That's what we have to look at, the things that are not seen. Not our sickness. Or the sickness of a good friend. I try every morning to thank God that I had another night with Lucretia. And every evening try to thank God that I had another day with her. Been married over 50 years. And I see people who have lost their mate. And for a long while they're lost. They have lived with that person for so long. Ms. Elliott's nodding her head. Can you imagine? All those years, how long were you married? 65 years. Can you imagine? You couldn't have imagined not living with Jack Elliott, could you? And I know that one of us is going to go. But you know, the things which are seen, marriages are temporary. Now, I intend to be Lucretia's companion for all eternity. And I think our relationship will be better. Certainly, we'll have better attitudes. You know, occasionally we still are carnal, which means fleshly. We're still fleshly. And sometimes it begins to affect us. The things which are not seen are eternal. Chapter 5, verse 1, for we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. We look to that.